And we're back. Welcome to Deep Thinking, the only motorcycle road racing podcast that is referred to on Futurama. He's Ed Sorbo, and he was born ready, he has just informed me.
I learned that in high school track and cross country.
What?
The coach would say, "Are you ready?" And we would say, born ready, coach.
Oh, Lord. I'm Michael.
Mrs. Goto. Thank you.
Mrs. Goto. He's Ed Sorbo from Lindeman Engineering.
Good name for a running coach, right?
That is, right? Goto. Go to the finish line, right?
He's Michael Gugis.
You can find Ed on the interwebs at le-suspension.com. He will twist your knobs and click your clickers.
Oh, stop.
And you can find my writings on the web at motorbikeroadracing.blogspot.com.
Number 55.
Number 55. Can you believe we've been doing this? We got plenty more to say.
We're going to talk about a guy who used to have a cheetah haircut.
A cheetah haircut.
You know who that was?
Was it Nikki?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. He had his hair cut short and he had like dyed cheetah pattern.
I was just at the D store down in Orange County and Nikki's a day and easy rider apparently. You should see the picture of him on the wall with his hair. He is just got this like uber styled rockabilly like thing. I mean, Sandy and I just stood there for a moment in awe. Just like, wow, that is amazing hair. Look at that. You know, God damn it. That's just awesome.
The beauty of a bad haircut is it doesn't last.
Yeah, right? It eventually fixes itself. I could tell you a story, but not on the air. What are we doing here today? Ed,
so in the latest issue of Road Racing World that I have, there's a...
We're going to talk about that again?
Or no, it's not in here.
What is it?
I was reading an interview of Nikki Hayden.
It's on Crash.net, but it's probably a package thing by Honda.
I wrote down a couple of quotes from that interview.
Nikki Hayden, MotoGP World Champion.
They're talking to him.
AMA Superbike Champion. All-around cool guy.
Yeah, they're talking to him about moving to World Superbike.
Right.
I know it's in Road Racing World.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I did.
No, it's not, Ed. Trust me on this. I've been in your brain. It's a dark and scary place.
It is.
And you should be ashamed of yourself for much of what you see. You should be deeply ashamed of yourself. It's not in there, though, Ed. Trust me on this.
If I stare hard enough,
you'll materialize it?
Yeah,
Ed, that's not... You know what? There
anyway,
is no such thing
so one
as materialization.
One of the things that Nikki's situation brings to mind is, you know, how does a world champion stop racing?
Oh, right. Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people are like, why is Nikki taking the open ride and whatever? And
right.
His results are bad and whatever. And, you know, he even stated it in there. I didn't quote him, though. But it said something along the lines of, you know, I like racing motorcycles,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And I mean,
let's
face it, a slow piece of shit open class
MotoGP bike is one badass hot ride. That's a hot ride.
And you're racing at the best tracks in the world.
Right.
Just the best tracks in America. Just
right?
The best track in the world.
And
right?
Your umbrella girl does not have a penis.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. We're going to talk about it eventually.
No, we're not going to
talk
about that.
We're going to talk about that picture.
I don't know what's wrong with you. So
we don't have time to get into
that. So there's a lot of reasons to keep on racing. And besides which, what else are you going to go do? Work the parts counter at your local dealership?
And besides, Nikki's been racing since he was, what, like 4 months old?
Yeah.
I mean,
there's no anything else to do.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of reasons to stay in and all. But
absolutely.
He was riding on a subpar bike.
Right.
But it
was a MotoGP bike, and that's an important part of our discussion.
Well, in the scale of the bikes he's racing in.
Right.
So the quote I copied down was, it's hard to risk everything to go from 13th to 14th when you've been a world champ.
Or 14th to 13th.
Yeah, right. And so the point there is, look, you know, the guy's got that much talent. He can tell how fast a bike can go.
Right.
Like you ride it up to your 100% level, and maybe sometimes you can Marquez it, you know,
right,
a tenth of a second fight, right?
Right.
But that isn't going to get you a win.
Right.
Right. When you're
and
in 14th place.
It's not going to get you anything.
Exactly. And risking getting hurt,
mm-hmm.
seriously hurt, not just like... These guys aren't scared to lose the front and low side.
Right.
You know.
No.
Right?
But
that risking getting hurt badly to move from 14th to 13th is, you know, some people will do it on their way up. Once you've been world champion, you're
it's
like, fuck, that's not worth it. It's
you know
not going to make anything
difference.
You know
what the first world-class rider I heard talk about that was? Scott Russell. He talked about...
Well, that just means it's the first guy you heard.
Right, absolutely.
Right? Guys have been thinking that way
since
the beginning of time.
But he was, you know, he was the first guy I remember... talking about and being open about it when he had the Harley ride, the Harley Superbike ride here in the United States, you know? And he said, I'm not going to hang it all out.
You know, that's all fine, but he should have not a half-stepped it either.
Well, I'm sorry?
He should have not half-stepped it either.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could argue that
the first time I recognized that thing was a quote from a motocross rider.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about the go-to event.
This is the sport where you deliberately launch a motorcycle into the air.
Yeah, it's kind of like jumping out of airplanes, right? And he was talking about, you know, him and the other national level guys would go to whatever track, and then there's locals that come in, right, and qualify, and they get to race. And he didn't like the locals because the locals would be the guys that would start tripling shit.
Right.
When all the other national guys are like, look, you don't triple, I won't triple, we'll all be okay.
Right.
And now they all have to start tripling, and the risk goes way up when you're doing that.
Right.
So then the other Nikki quote that I really liked on there, they were asking him, you know, it's a different schedule. In MotoGP, you have one race on Sunday.
Right.
Everything builds to that premier event. Mm-hmm. World Superbike has the two races.
And apparently they might be doing it on different days this week.
They're talking about maybe switching to one race Saturday, one race Sunday. And anyway, they're asking Nikki about that and how it was going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And his answer was, you know, I don't know exactly. I haven't done it, you know.
Right.
And they asked him about the Saturday thing. He said, well, that might be nice, but then that also means that you get less practice before you got to go race.
Right.
You know? And this is the part I like, the quote I wrote down. It was, so I'll see what the schedule says and line up when they tell me to line up.
God damn it. Like I said, a professional. We were talking about that last time.
And so some of this is because most of us start racing at the club level.
Right.
Where it's a different goal, right? Mm-hmm. At the club level, you are the customer, the rider.
Right.
And they want to do the thing that makes you happy.
Right.
And so the races are short, because that's what most of the people want, because they get tired and don't want to race for too long. There's lots of people, yada, yada, yada. You have some more control. But once you move to the pro level, mm-hmm. it's a show,
right.
And there's a schedule that needs to be met, and you knew the job was dangerous when you took it.
Right.
And there's certain things you have to do. Practice is at 6 a.m. Fuck, I hate practice at 6 a.m.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Damn. Did somebody write me a check?
Yes, I'll be there at 5 in the morning, so I'm ready, right?
Right.
I got an example of this. I was working a race in the Canadian Superbike Series at Mossport.
Okay.
And Mossport is a tricky place. It's close to the lake. It's a really big lake.
Which lake?
One of the Great Lakes.
Is it superior to all the others?
I think so, yes. and it can
rain. I've read
there.
A book.
You know, and there was the one book that mattered. So the weather has the changey thing going on that every place close to big bodies mm-hmm. of water has.
Lake effect.
And the rain comes in from the end of the track that's farthest from control, so Moss's Corner, named for a guy named Moss,
Sterling
not
Moss.
Because it grows moss, mm-hmm. okay? And it's a really cool tabletop turn, folks. You need to put Mossport on your bucket list.
Is it turn five down at the bottom?
It's called turn. It's also the fifth turn, yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, the rain always comes in down there mm-hmm. and doesn't always make it to the other end of the track. So you can be doing the shitty thing where 3/4 of the track is dry and then mm-hmm. this one place is wet and you're not sure how wet it's going to be. It changes every lap. It's fucking sketchy. And there's fucking sealer patches because they race cars.
Right.
Right. And so the race got started, or maybe the siding lap got started, and then it was raining enough that we had to, you know, take a little break, 10 minutes, see what's going to happen, whatever.
Now, is this a club race or
a professional? No, this is a national weekend.
Okay, national
but
weekend.
Now their events are shared with club class fill-in stuff.
Absolutely.
Okay? But regardless of all that, all the superbike guys, all the guys in the pro class are up on the grid. We're all, you know, and we're coming in, and the bikes are on the pit wall, on their warmers, and there's a delay for I forget exactly what.
Okay.
And I'm watching all of the riders, and every single one of them is like going over to the guy, the race director, and trying to put his 2 cents in, and then trying to have things be. They're all thinking about how they can get the situation changed to suit whatever they like the best.
Okay.
And one guy, Jordan Zoke, is sitting on the pit wall next to his bike, just keeping his mouth shut and thinking whatever he's thinking to himself. Guess who kicked everybody's ass when the race restarted?
Would that be the 10-time Canadian Superbike champion?
The one
Jordan
guy that
Zoke?
Was focused on doing his job. And when I read Nikki's quote, when they tell me to line up, that's when I'm going to line up. That's the attitude that you got to have.
At the pro level.
When it's time. Well, you know, if you bring that attitude to the club level, it's going to put you head and shoulders above all those other guys.
I'm gonna argue with you because I'm here.
It's a surprise.
I say...
The foundation of deep thinking is us arguing, right, is it not?
Exactly. Whether there's something to argue about or not.
Where were we just at? We were at Fontana, right, and your buddies were there. And they're like, this is awesome. This is like live deep thinking. Maybe we should sell tickets.
Right?
Okay, argue
with
me. I'm
telling you, we should definitely do it.
Argue with me about why you should not bring a professional attitude, Michael Gouges, to club racing.
No, I'm not arguing that. I'm saying at the pro level, you also have a responsibility to look out for the safety of yourself and your fellow racers. If there is a situation that is dangerous, you say it, you make your point known.
Well,
but hold on. And then after that, it is up to you. So, it's up to you and your team as to whether or not you're going to participate.
Yeah, well, it goes farther than that. This situation was a changing situation.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the change happened, the rules kicked in and everything was stopped.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm pretty sure it was still just a warm-up lap, and it started raining down there. So it's easy to go, well, we're going to wait a few minutes and see if it's going to actually rain or right, it's not going to, right? Because, you know, if changing situations are the thing that's the problem for everybody.
Right.
Right? If it's actually raining or it's actually sunny, we're all good. We know what to do.
Right.
And we've gotten to that level. That's good. It's when it's the in-between that right, you want to be, because you can't have guys on slicks and they come around a corner and it's fucking pouring down.
Right.
Okay. So that was going on already. The pro-level organization was doing the pro stuff it's supposed
then
to
do.
Then
that's okay.
Exactly.
Right.
And my point was,
okay,
yes, so at the pro level, the proper thing to do is be involved in the committee that they have or whatever,
right,
and make sure the right rules are in place.
Right, and
but
then
once
follow the
it's
rules,
time to get to work,
mm-hmm,
it's time to get to work. And
absolutely,
so you take the same thing to everything you do.
Right.
Right? There's a time for influencing the rules.
Right.
And there's a time for getting on with business.
Getting on the
riders
job.
Meeting on Sunday morning is not the day to have a vote on new rules.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That's the time of day to go, okay, your procedure was, okay, good. That's I thought so. Thank you for clarifying that.
Right.
And then you go do it. And then,
right,
of course, you always have the option of saying, no, I'm not going out there.
Right.
Or raising your hand and coming into the pits because the conditions don't suit your situation.
Yeah,
it's
like,
not worth your risk.
Like Andy Edwards did.
At Willow Springs, this past Moto West GP race
right,
event, it started raining.
He's on slicks.
He only has slicks. It's only drizzling, yada, yada, yada. Andy does the warm-up lap. He started the race, and halfway around the first lap, he said, screw it, and came in.
Mm-hmm.
The other guys had to go ridiculously slow in order to finish the race.
You know what?
Of course, they were happy when they were done. The sad thing about that situation, the very next race, they delayed the start to see what the weather was going
right,
to do.
Formula
listen,
race,
if it's the right thing to delay the start for race A, it's also the right thing to delay the start for the race that's
B,
going on, people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get your shit together.
And
that'll nice segue. You asked me if I had another topic about
I do,
club
but
racing.
I want to talk about me for a minute.
Okay, but we'll come back to you.
No. We need to talk about me right here because it
better tie into club racing.
It ties into your point. I'm not the fastest guy on the planet. I've never been the fastest guy on the planet.
And you never will be.
I never will be the fastest guy on the planet, but I've got a fucking shelf full of trophies and a pile of championships. And it's because my approach, once I learned to do it, was a lot like what you said. You know, I'm going to do this as professionally as I can. The bike is going to be prepared. I have procedures to follow. And it always just blew me away the number of races that I won and the podiums that I took.
It surprised me too.
Just because I was prepared.
So,
you know?
What's the definition of a pro? Oh, there's a lot of definitions of a pro.
Right.
But here's what you can do, whatever you're doing, is do it in a professional manner.
Do it as best you can.
Okay. So, club racing.
Yeah.
Silicone on bolts.
Is that a good idea?
It's pointless.
Is it pointless?
The silicone.
We should save the silicone for breast implants.
No. The silicone does not prevent the bolt from coming off. It's not strong enough. A tight bolt doesn't come loose on its own. If it did, every mechanical thing in the world would fall apart. And they don't. So bolts don't come loose on their own. If a bolt is loose, putting silicone on it, the act of putting the silicone on, will make you notice that the bolt is loose. So the proper use of silicone in a rule situation is that when somebody comes to tech and they're supposed to have bolt X drilled and safety wired, and they don't for whatever reason, okay? And you don't want to make them go back and drill the bolt in the pits. You want to get them in the race, yada, yada, yada. You allow them to put silicone on for that one event as a way to prove to other people that that bolt was checked for proper tightness and that they understand that when they come back to their next event, it needs to be safety wired. So they show up at their next event, it's still only got silicone, go home. or fix it, but you can't pass tech until it's properly fixed. Writing a rule that starts out saying safety wire or silicone is bullshit. If you are racing with a club that is telling you you don't have to safety wire your bolts, you just got to put silicone on them, that's a cop-out. If you want to do that, have the tech inspector have the appropriate tools and just check the tightness of all the bolts that you want checked, the drain plugs and whatever. They're not going to come out while the guy's riding if they're tight. If you're following my point,
I was still thinking about breast implants.
Yeah, there are clubs that have that rule that say you can just use silicone, and that's ridiculous. And also, okay, so within your little club that you're racing at the go-kart track, mm-hmm. it doesn't cause you guys any problems, fine. But when that person grows up to try to go race at a club level, now they're going to be in for a big surprise. So, of course, that person, that racer, can avoid that problem by simply reading the rules of whatever club they're going to race with. But since they've never read a rule book in the first place, they think they don't need to do it. And then this leads into something that has nothing to do with clubs, but I just discovered this. So on your master cylinder,
yes.
the type that has the square rectangle cap and the two screws,
right?
We've all seen master cylinders have little scuff marks on them from crashing and hitting the ground.
Right.
And many of us have noticed that that little 4 millimeter countersunk screw gets bent.
Yes.
It's orbiting as you unscrew it, right? Mm-hmm. But if you screw it back in, it gets tight and you can still use it, right?
Of course.
So I got a bike here right now. I'm changing the brake lines on it. It's got one of those bent screws.
Okay.
I get all done with the brake job. I hose the bike down so that any brake fluid that I spilled somewhere doesn't cause a problem.
Right.
And the bike dries overnight. Today, I go to double check the brakes, make sure there's no air in the system, blah, 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 blah. Bleed it a little bit more, top it off. When I unscrewed that screw, there was water in there.
Water?
Because
from hosing it off.
Bent the angle, the countersunk part now mm-hmm. no longer fits properly. So, folks, spend the 50 cents, replace that screw. You can buy it from the dealer for nothing, or you can go to McMaster.com and buy 100 stainless steel Allen bolts of the same size for like $3. Have that forever, and you don't have to deal with the Phillips screw part where they get stuck and whatever.
Right.
And you can, and I have those, by the way.
Excellent.
Because I'm a genius. So anyway, sidetracked on that one. Check and check. And I got the 2 minute board.
Hit it.
Oh no, we're yet. No.
Yeah, close enough. Besides, we never do the 2 minute board for just 2 minutes.
It never takes 2 minutes. Right? You're right. Okay.
We're still looking for an Aprilia.
2 minute board.
Yeah.
Michael.
Yo. I'm here.
You're teaching.
I am.
You have multiple different classes with different curriculums
Correct.
You teach. And you have a grading system.
Correct.
And you expect to see improvement of your students through the year. They got to learn more and demonstrate that they've learned as they go along,
Correct.
Right? That's part of the criterion, right?
Yes.
It's not just memorize what Michael says, as good as that would
That's
be.
That's actually pretty decent.
Okay. Now, before we continue, when I say the word you...
Yes.
The definition I'm using is you, Michael Gugis, you, all of our listeners,
right?
You, everybody in the planet.
But not you.
Not me. I'm the only person not being spoken about when I say this.
Correct.
So I have a gravel driveway.
Okay.
When you rode up the driveway today when you mm-hmm. got here on your motorcycle.
Correct.
What did you do with your feet?
I hung them down.
You hung them down.
Yes.
But you listen to deep thinking. I know
do.
You do.
We've had this discussion.
Which means you've heard this discussion
right.
before. Okay, folks. So for those of you who may have missed it, the discussion was when riding at slow speeds, the way to have the most control is to have both feet on the foot pegs. The foot pegs are a fulcrum moving through, acting through the center of mass of the motorcycle. And it's a highly effective way to help balance the bike by weighting the pegs. Okay?
Skeert. I'm scared, Ed.
And you're scared because your feet are not on the pegs.
No, I'm scared because it's gravel.
Yes, that's why you decide you want to be scared.
I don't like gravel.
Okay, so
dirt, gravel.
There are a number of techniques to make riding the motorcycle better and a
yes.
more enjoyable ride. And
yes.
There are techniques for slow speed such, and there's
correct.
Techniques for higher speed stuff.
All those
there's
things are correct.
There's techniques for looking farther ahead, whether you're on the racetrack or on the street, for going faster or for avoiding problems. And unless we practice them,
right.
we are never going to get better
right.
at them.
But okay? I can't be a genius
so
at everything.
When people go to the track day to have fun,
right.
they don't want to practice skill sets because they just wanted to have fun.
Right.
But if they spent a little time practicing,
skill
breaking
set.
Better, looking farther, breathing through the corners, any number of skills. They will then have more fun while they're riding. And check it out, they'll crash less.
Right.
And now, listen, if crashing is fun, you can go stunting. I'm down with that. You crash all you want.
Or ride motocross. Right?
Yeah, there, exactly.
You know, jeez, they build those things to crash.
If you do the hard work of finding a relatively empty parking lot and practicing pulling away from a stop 10 times with your right foot already up on the peg and picking up your left foot right away as soon as you get moving.
Correct.
If you practice riding slow with both feet on the pegs and maybe weaving through the ends of the white lines, you can use the ends of the white lines like they're cones.
Yes.
But there's no cones to knock over that way, right?
Right.
Practicing turning your head and looking all the way around through the corner in a U-turn. If you do that a little bit, or even if you just do it while you're riding, your life will get better. All I'm saying.
I'm sure you're absolutely saying that.
On the other hand, if you don't practice, you can continue to be thrilled, i.e. scared, at a lower speed and feel like you're going faster.
Both work. I like to spell scared with an A apostrophe in front of it.
At my last track day, I'm riding my 250 Ninja in group two, and a guy on 1,000 came out, and he went right on out of the pits, halfway through, he went right onto the racing line from out of the pits, and I'm not allowed to pass anywhere except on the outside, except he's all the way to the edge, so I can't quite make it by him. But he gets a glimpse of me, and he kind of moves over a little bit. I make it by him. So then he passes me on a straightaway. The next lap, I passed him on the outside of a different corner, and then he went into the pits. Okay? I recommend to everybody, practice, or you're going to get embarrassed.
Yeah.
Michael Gugis.
No, you're not.
Oh, that's right. You're Michael Gugis.
He's Ed Sorbo.
Aloha.